Our reading this morning is from 1 John, 1st chapter, verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 10. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Good morning. Feels like it's been a few weeks since I seen you. I'm very thankful to be back, so appreciative to everyone here that supported us, that sent cards, made phone calls, sent texts, reached out, gave us gifts, all those wonderful things for the baby. We appreciate you very much, and we just wanted to say thank you. And wanted to also say thank you for those who prayed for my parents who are dealing with COVID. Mom is doing well. She's still in the hospital, but she's still improving and doing a lot better. And Dad's been doing great with the COVID. He's been out cutting the grass. So a lot of good news and a lot of things to be thankful for there. And just wanted to say we appreciate you guys for all of your prayers and your concern. And the baby and Megan are doing great as well. Megan's recovered quite well and rapidly as well. So she's doing good, and the baby's doing good, just trying to figure out her days and nights. I think she's getting those a little mixed up, but that's expected with a newborn. And the kids have done really well. We weren't sure how they would adjust to having a new addition to the family, but everyone's stepped up and really helped out. They help clean up. They help gather diapers. They help get clothing. They get themselves dressed. The only one that's having a little bit of a tough time is Ezekiel. He still thinks he's the baby, and he's having a tough time adjusting out of that. But appreciate you guys, and just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone here. We love you, and we very much appreciate everything you've done for us. All right, we are going to start a new series, Walking in the Light, and we're going to look at different aspects of walking in the light. This morning, I would like to hone in on just what does it mean to walk in God's light. And once we have that contextual meaning from the actual place in the scripture that we find walking in the light, once we can understand that and we know how it applies in those set of verses, then we can extend it outward and we can look at other texts and other passages that deal with the same idea. So what does it mean to walk in God's light? I want you to imagine for a moment that you're lost in the woods, and there's no night from the moon because it's a cloudy night. You're lost, and you don't have your phone, you don't have a flashlight, you don't have any light source, and so it's pitch dark, and you can't see anything in front of you, you can't see any steps, so you're stuck, you're motionless, because you can't see anything in front of you. There's simply no light to be found around. So as you're wandering through the darkness, you travel so far that you even forget the direction from which you came. Suddenly, off in the distance, you see a man who's making his way through the woods, and he has a lantern with him, which is illuminating all of the darkness. Knowing that he may be able to help you, you carefully make your way up to him. Upon meeting the man with the lantern, he instructs you that he is very familiar with the forest, with these set of woods. He's grown up here. He knows it keenly well, and that he can help navigate you out of the darkness and into a safe place. All that you need to do is follow the man who shines the light for you. The question for this morning is, will you follow this man who is able to give you light, or will you continue to walk through the dark, knowing that if you follow him, he can lead you home? 1 John chapter 5, or chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, the text that was so capably read for us, that's where we find our theme for this series. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So walking in the light, let's try to unpack this just for a moment. To understand that, we're going to have to back up in the text and go to verse 5. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, John is making this very explicit and clear. And he's saying, the thing that we've proclaimed to you, the thing that we've declared to you, the thing that we've been informing you about, the message that we've brought, the message from his word, the message that we've brought is very simple. Even though it's got a lot of depth to it, it's very simple and it's very clear. First, God is light. That's the message. And John expects his readers and his audience to understand this. So if God is light, we need to understand what that means so we can then walk in the light. God is light, and I want you to look at the text so you can see it for yourself. If you have your phone or a Bible, or if there's a Bible available in the pews, please look at this, because if you're not looking at it, you may miss it the next time you come across it. And it's very important that we understand and unpack what this means to walk in the light and what it means that God is light. Several times in the Bible, the word light is used to reference different things. It's used to reference the light outside from the sunlight. It's used to reference things of moral character like goodness, truth, purity. But in this text, what John wants us to understand is that God is light means that God has manifested something. He's revealed something to us. He's a revealer of truth. There's no hidden agenda with God. There's no deception. There's nothing covered up that he doesn't want you to see, so there's no secrecy with God. He says, this is the message that we have from him, and we're giving it to you. God is light. God is a revealer of truth. And he's manifested this truth to us. And there is no darkness with God. So God's self-revelation is through his message. And this has been a theme throughout all of the Bible. This goes back to the law and to the prophets. Anytime God revealed something to people, it is referred to as light. Let me give you a few of them. If you go back to the Proverbs, which we're not going to turn there, but if you look in the Old Testament in the Proverbs, if you look in the Old Testament in the prophets, you're going to see things like this, that his commands are a lamp, his teaching is a light, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How many times have we heard that particular passage or quoted it ourselves? So God's self-revelation from the Old Testament had always been referred to as light. And it's not until you get to the New Testament that you begin to see that God says, and I'm going to send my servant who's going to be a light to the Gentiles. He's going to be a light to the Gentiles. He's going to save his people. And he's referring to his son, Jesus. So that's the incarnation and the birth of Jesus coming on the scene. And if you stick in 1 John, that's exactly what 1 John tells us in the first few verses. So this corresponds perfectly to John chapter 1. Look at verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we heard, we seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. He's talking about Jesus and his incarnation, the birth of Christ. Light coming into the world. And John chapter 1 refers to this as the true light that gives the light of men. It gives men life. And that's one of the themes that John's going to continually mention. Love, light, and life. All coming from Jesus. So John says, we've seen it. Look at verse 2. The life, the light, love itself has been manifested to us. And we have seen it. We bear witness and we declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and it was manifested to us. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12? I am the light of the world. And then he goes on and he makes this statement. He says, since God is light and he's revealed his light through his son Jesus, who is the true light, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So now, when we look at the phrasing, God is light, what we should begin to see is transformation, change, new life, new creation. All of those themes go back to this very point that God is light, and he's manifested this life to us, and he wants us to have a part of it. Jesus said in John 12, 36, while you have the light, which is himself, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to recognize this real quick. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to come back to this text later on, but I want you to take a quick notice to it. Ephesians 5, in verse 8. And notice what the Apostle Paul says here in Ephesians 5, 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And look at this corresponding verse to 1 John 1 and verse 7 that says, walk in the light. Walk as children of light. That's the same thing. So spiritually speaking, the true light of God that he has revealed, has been revealed to us through his Son, he gives to us to receive. He wants us to walk in his light. And if you remember back in Romans, I mean, that's the gospel, that's the good news. And remember back in Romans, Paul says that this gospel, this good news that God has manifested, he's given us this life and this light. He's revealed it to us. This good news, this gospel can save you. But unfortunately, many people like the Gentiles had turned away from God. They refused the light. And Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So the Gentiles had rejected God, so he gave them up. Why did God give them up? He gave them up because they were spiritually blind to the point that they could not and would not be led by God's light. God is light. He is a revealer. He's manifested his truth about his Son and who he is. And he wants us to follow that path. God does not want us to live or be lost in darkness. So this is to be taken very seriously. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, which we just discovered, this is the message that we've heard from him, and we declare it to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's the theme that John's going to come back to. And he's going to give us a negative aspect and a positive aspect. So verse 6 is going to be the negative aspect. But he's trying to get to the benefits of walking and living in God's light. So what are some of the benefits of light? And so again, he's given us the negative. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So he's given us a few of these if we clauses in this section. If we say, if we walk, if we say in verse 8, if we confess in verse 9, if we say in verse 10. So he's given us a bunch of these conditional statements. And so what he's given us here in verse 6 is that if we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness. Now, what's the problem with that? It contradicts verse 5, that truth statement he made. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, it contradicts who God is. And so that That's a mixed message, and it comes across very confusing. And he says, this can't happen, because it contradicts the message about who God is and what he's revealed through his son Jesus. And he makes clarification down in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, he's basically saying, now the things that you're saying are lies. He says, we lie and we do not practice the truth. And these are all referring to lifestyles. These are continuous actions. So we lie and we continue lying. We continue not practicing the truth. And we continue to live in sin. We continue to live in darkness. And we continue not having fellowship with God because of the darkness. So verse 6 is the negative. Verse 7 is the positive concerning verse 5. So verse 7 is the positive aspect. And this is where he's going to get into the nitty-gritty of the benefits and the blessings of walking in God's light. And here are two of them. First, obvious from verse 6, which he gave us the negative. If we say we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, then we're lying and we do not practice the truth. We're self-deceived and we make God a liar because we've put darkness in God. And that can't be true. So John says, well, we can't live like that. So here's the positive aspect. If we walk in the light, here it is, as he is in the light, because why? God is light. Then, what's the conclusion and the first benefit and blessing? We have fellowship with one another. And this fellowship is not just limited to a fellowship or relationship that we have with God. It extends to all of the children of light. Now, verse 6 is explicitly talking about having fellowship with God, because he says in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, if we say we have connection with him, then we lie, we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with God. But I want you to notice something else. Look at verse 3 for a moment. Of chapter 1, verse 3 of chapter 1. That which we have seen and we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. So who is that? That's the children of light. That's other believers. That's other Christians. So one indicator and one piece of evidence that you are walking in the light is you have fellowship with God and you have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's proof that you're walking in the light. And that's one of the great blessings and benefits of it. So someone who says, I have fellowship with God, but then you find out they don't attend church anywhere, they're not active in their church family, they're not doing anything with church. On Sundays, they're in the woods, or they're fishing, or they're playing golf. They're in verse 6. They say they have fellowship with God, but they're walking in darkness. Well, that contradicts the message of verse 5. Verse 7 is the positive solution. If you walk in the light, then you have fellowship with God, and you have fellowship with the family of God. That's how you can know you're walking in the light. And it doesn't contradict the message of verse 5 that says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no secrecy. There's nothing veiled. There's no hypocrisy. So a person who's walking in his light and has fellowship with God is not a hypocrite, because things are revealed to them. They have fellowship with God. Number 2, purity. A pure life. Now, you could say cleansing. You could say a holy life. Whatever you want to tie to it. I put purity there because it relates back to the light. When God reveals his light, it's goodness, it's truth, it's pure, it's not stained, it's not tainted by sin or darkness. So One of the great benefits of us walking in God's light is not only do we have fellowship with God and with each other, but we have a pure life. We're cleansed from sin. We're pure from the things that stain us. So the second benefit is the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. So purity, cleansing, walking in the light cannot mean sinless perfection. It cannot mean that you're morally perfect. It cannot mean that you are faultless or without mistakes. And you say, well, why? Or how do you know that? Because if we were perfect, or if we were sinless, as some have attributed walking to the light, or you read it and you go, walking in the light means I have to be perfect, so there's no way I can do that, so I'm not even going to try. Well, John emphatically is going to say, that's not what I mean. That's not what walking in the light is. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It can't mean that. You know why? Because then you won't have a cleansing, you won't have a purity from the blood of Jesus, which cleanses you from all sin. When does that occur? When you're walking in the light. So walking in the light means you're going to have sin in your life. And you're going to need that benefit of walking in the light and that continual cleansing from Jesus. So it cannot and does not mean that you're going to be sinlessly perfect. And look what he says in the next verse. John goes on to clarify himself in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Because the truth that God has revealed to us and manifested to us is perfect love, is sinless and without mistakes, and we realize we can't live up to that standard. So if we say, you know what, I just don't have sin or I don't struggle with it, well, he's saying you're lying and you're not walking in the light. You're actually walking in darkness. That cannot be true. So John is emphatic and he's letting us know he doesn't mean sinless perfection. Same thing in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and we put darkness on God. And we know that contradicts verse 5, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, period. The writer makes sure that we understand this. So walking in the light, it's a serious matter. It means that it has great benefits, that we have fellowship with God. It means that we have this change in life. We have this transformation that takes place. It means that we have this cleansing. It means that we're not walking around in darkness. It's something that we need to seriously understand and see its importance. So walking in the light, what does it mean? Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And here it is, verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Verse 11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So what is walking in the light? It's walking in love. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I told you we would come back to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And in this text that Paul is writing and encouraging the brethren to know that they are children of light and that the darkness has passed away, look how he begins this section in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So walking in the light is to walk in the love of God that has been revealed to us and manifested through his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for the remission of our sins. That's how we walk in the light. That's what it means to be walking in the light, walking in love. And remember our love series, we learned that we should love God by obeying him and practicing his truth and doing his word according to James chapter 1. But it also means that we love the family of God. And it means that we love each other absolutely. We love each other, or we try to love each other like Jesus loved us and the demonstration and example that he left for us. That's walking in the light. But number two, what else does it mean? So it's walking in love, and number two, confessing our sins. So let's come back to the context of 1 John 1, and I want you to notice the second aspect. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we're walking in the light, it means that we're confessing our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive our sins or cancel out the sin of debt or the debt of sin that we owe, which is the wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6 and verse 23. So God has forgiven that, he's erased that, and he's cleansed us from all unrighteousness. So he forgives all debt, and he wipes away or cleanses us from specific sins, unrighteousness, unrighteous acts that we do. Now, what are some of the unrighteous acts that we could do? Do you ever look at the standard that Jesus set for us on the cross? See that great sacrifice that he made for us? And you look at it and you go, man, I can't do that perfectly. I fail at that. If you're walking in the light, then that means you see your failures. If you're walking in darkness, you can't see that you fail to walk in love from time to time because we're imperfect and that we need to confess our faults and admit our failures and say that I've been selfish, I've been self-centered, I've walked in darkness, and I don't want to live like that anymore. And I want to strive for something better, and I want to change my ways. Well, if you have fellowship with God, you see your mistakes. You see that you aren't able to live up to that standard and love like Jesus loved. But you want to live better. A person in darkness who claims to have fellowship with God won't see that. And thus, there's no transformation and there's no change. And they continue to grope in the darkness. So walking in the light begins with a change of heart, a change of mind. We've been changed by his word. We have this new birth that takes place. Let's close by turning to John chapter 3 because the book of John lays this out for us perfectly. Beginning in John chapter 1, then we begin to see the ministry of Jesus in John chapter 2. But I want you to keep all these things that we talked about with walking in the light, walking in love, following Jesus and his example and the things that God has manifested to us, and we need this transformation. This is exactly what John 3 is all about. So John 3, he's having this conversation with Nicodemus, and look how he starts out. And he immediately jumps to the point with Nicodemus, and he says straight up in verse 3, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He's blind, he's living in darkness, and he can't see that he needs a change of life. But since the light has been manifested to us, and now we see it, we see and recognize our failures, we see that we need this new birth and this transformation, then we can walk in the light. Verse 7, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. So it starts out with this transformation from his word. Now that we begin to to see the light, now we see Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. Look at John 3, beginning in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have eternal or everlasting life. Because of the light that's been revealed, because of the love that was demonstrated for us, we can have life in Jesus. That's John's themes. That's what the book of 1 John is referring to over and over again and trying to get us to understand. This has been revealed to us and manifested, and we can see it now by his revealed message. And look how John closes this out. Let's continue reading verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world, which was full of darkness, to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. But through him the world might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest he see his deeds, and his deeds are manifested and exposed to him. Verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, lives in love, lives out that everlasting, eternal life that John said, we got to hold on to that word of life. We got to hold on to eternity. We saw it in Jesus. That his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And let me add one word to that. They have been done in God's light. Walking in the light doesn't mean that you and I are going to be perfect. Means that we're going to make mistakes. And when we fail to love like God, and we become selfish and we begin to practice evil, since we're walking in the light, we see that error and we recognize it and we strive for change. If you're walking in darkness, you couldn't see the ugliness of your sin. But now that you can see it, your heart is broken by it and you want to get rid of it and you hate it like God hates it. So you admit it, you confess it, and you seek change from it. And now that you have the light shows you the way. So the question that we asked this morning, imagine you were walking through the woods. Now you don't have to imagine anymore. You can know that we're in a world of darkness. But the good news is, the gospel, is that Jesus has come and showed us a better way. Now we can have fellowship with God. Now we can have continual cleansing. That's the great benefit of walking in his light. What does it mean? We got to know the answer to that question. This morning, are you following Jesus? He's lit the way for us. Are you walking in his light? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian who's accepted Jesus? You've become a Christian. You've been baptized for the remission of your sins, but you've turned back to the darkness. A couple roadblocks that can keep you from walking in the light. Number one, the allurements of the world. Number two, false teachers. Have you been deceived? Come out of that. Repent of that sin. Now is your opportunity to follow the light as we stand and we sing.